But first, something else that is putting a smile on our face, that is the year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with my colleague, Mike Crane. We are in our year-end membership drive. This is your public radio station, listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now is your chance to make sure we get a good start to 2018. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you pledge right this very moment at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So, Kate, you're saying we look forward to the pledge drive, right?
We do. I love pledge drives.
Yeah. And you know why,
of course. Because you feel the love.
Exactly. the comment we often hear is that people love what you're doing this morning and that what the Ideas Network does generally. It's so great to hear from people and to hear your support. So we have a goal this hour. It's 10 pledges. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from people at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And that gets us one step closer to meeting our overall goal and helps us with a strong start this pledge drive and into 2018 for the programs that you count on in the coming year.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you are right. They do. However, big caveat, we thank you for that. But Mike?
Yeah, listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our operating budget. And you make the difference. You make the quality and the variety of programs on the Ideas Network possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid. Perhaps you were in the back seat, in the car seat, in the car with your parents, or maybe you found us all on your own. No matter how you first tuned in, you probably want to see WPR continue. I know you do. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
A beloved part of Wisconsin, as we said earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've never given before, now is a great time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution of $10 or $20 a month. It's easy and it doesn't take long. So just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $10 or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio, and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, it's Mike Crane here with Kate Archer Kent during the middle of our pledge drive. It's just a brief pledge drive. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the Ideas Network, and you rely on it, and that's why you will support it, I hope, during this year-end membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month, but whatever amount you choose, that could be $100 a month, up to you, but that's the right amount.
We know you value your time, and we value your time as well, so giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and voila, how you'd like to pay.
It really is quick and easy, so just make your gift right now because it really helps WPR. Take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 10 pledges this hour. We can do it. This year-end membership drive, it is the last drive of our centennial year. Mike, I hate to let the centennial year go. It's been so magical.
Well, just the opportunity to celebrate 100 years of service to the state and innovation in how we use media. Just what a great year it has been. All the greater because of the incredible support we get from the people of Wisconsin. We'd love to hear from you right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. Ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Francis from Madison, who says, WPR brings balanced debate, new information, and a constant stream of brain food. Francis says, thank you. Thank you, Francis, for that pledge. We'd love to hear from you right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Now, turning our attention to the Uncle John's bathroom reader, I have no subtle segue, by the way, to this, so I'm just putting it out there. The stories are quick about the length of a bathroom stay. They may be unusual stories. Some are valuable life lessons, though, that are always worthwhile. Reading these books make us a bit wiser about our journey through this life. Gordon Javna is co-author of the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader series. He's also co-author of the new book, Life is a Joke, 100 Life Lessons with Punchlines. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you.
Well, we all experience lessons throughout our lives, but not everyone can adjust to life's changes instantaneously and take things with a grain of salt. So why do you think it's significant to apply humor to our life and our life lessons?
Well, I'm not a humor expert, nor am I a psychologist, but I can tell you that jokes are a good joke is a great way to remember something. I've always felt that jokes are like a good joke is like a little philosophical lesson, something that you can digest quickly, and if it's a good one, if it tells you about human foibles, it's something that you can remember. I use punchlines to remember little life lessons, and what my brother and I have done is taken what we think are 100 really good and classic jokes. So it's a lot of them, some of them are jokes that we've heard for years, and we just use them to make little teaching moments out of it.
Teachable moments from jokes. You know, jokes are so off the cuff, though, and we don't think much of them except for the punchline. Do you think we're missing the point here?
No, actually, I think the punchline is the whole thing. Actually, if it's a good setup and a good punchline, then you should get the whole thing. You want to hear one?
I do, please.
Okay, so I was just flipping through the book to pick up my favorites, and I just I liked them all, so I just stopped on this one. So after years of pouring his heart out to a therapist, investing countless hours and a substantial part of his income in the sessions, a man finally works up enough courage to ask a question about a puzzling part of his therapist's method that he's never understood. The patient says, "Doctor, I've been coming to you once a week for 5 years, sharing all the painful details of my childhood, exposing all my insecurities, recounting all my regrets, and sobbing about my difficult personal relationships. And all the while, you've sat there listening and observing, but never once asking a question or offering advice. Why? Why the silence?" The therapist nods thoughtfully, looks down at his notes, and finally, after a long pause, says, "No hablo inglés."
So what is the life lesson there?
Well, I mean, it may seem preposterous that someone could spend years in an intimate relationship and then suddenly discover they haven't been communicating at all, but it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you assumed that a friend understood exactly what you were telling them, only to find out later that they'd gotten it completely wrong, or they weren't even listening in the first place? And so this is a good way to remember when you're not communicating, you have to change how you're communicating in order to get the message across.
And this compilation you have in your book, you hear from John Lennon, Eleanor Roosevelt, Thomas Edison, Dr. Seuss. It is a really wide swath of people out there. How did you collect all of these?
So I'll tell you how the book started. You mentioned that I used to I still am the editor-in-chief of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, but I was thinking...
You can't get rid of that. You know you can't get rid of that.
Oh, no. I love it. No, and I actually, I used to work for the publisher of the book as a full-time. Now I still am the editor-in-chief, but I do it as a freelancer because I needed a break from corporate world. And I was talking to my brother one day about it, and he said, you know, let's do something together. And my brother, John, started Uncle John's Bathroom Reader back 30 years ago and sold it to another publisher about 17 years ago, and I took over as the editor-in-chief. And my brother also did a series of books called 50 Simple Things You Can Do to Save the Earth. So we have a lot of publishing experience between us, and sometimes we sit around talking about, well, what would be a good book idea? And we came up with this one because John was telling me that he used jokes to communicate, to convey life lessons to his kids. And I said, that's really interesting because I do the same thing for myself. I tell a joke and I remember it forever, and I just remember the punchline, and it reminds me of things and it teaches me. So when we came up with the idea for this book, we started racking our brains, coming up with jokes that we knew, and then we asked friends and we asked other writers to provide the material for us. And we had only a couple of criteria. First, it had to be a nice picture. You know, it had to be able to tell a little story in a page or less. And it had to be clean, you know, nothing raunchy or racy in the book. Although there is one slightly racist joke in the book, which we put in specifically to talk about racist jokes. It's pretty. Let's see if I can find. Well, maybe you don't want to. Anyway, and not all wordplay. That was the other thing. We, you know, not puns or anything like that. And we were able to put together 100 jokes, which are all funny, and they're all sort of classics. So you may have heard them before, but you never heard them like this before.
The first life lesson you chose to explore is the force of habit. Can you tell us the joke surrounding this life lesson and explain the message this conveys beyond the punchline?
Sure. You mind if I read the joke first?
Go right ahead.
Okay. So two old pirates are sitting at a bar talking about their adventures. One pirate says, "So how'd you get that metal hook for a hand?" The other pirate says, "Well, we were ransacking a merchant ship in the West Indies when I got into a sword fight. And the ship's captain cut off my hand." "Wow," said the first pirate. "And how'd you get that peg leg?" "Well, we were ransacking a schooner off Haiti when I got into hand-to-hand combat with the schooner's captain. He swung his sword with such force that he cut off my leg." "Amazing," said the first pirate. "And how'd you get that patch over your right eye?" "Well, I was standing on the deck when a seagull crapped in my face." "That's how you lost your eye?" asked the first pirate. "Well, it was my first day with the hook."
Nice. Okay, so what do we take away there?
You take away that nobody adjusts to changes instantly. It takes time to get used to new conditions, and you're bound to make mistakes, but you don't have to be the guy with the hook. If you recognize changes as they're happening, you can limit your mistakes by developing new habits to go along with the new conditions. And surprisingly, you'll find that it doesn't take a lot of willpower to change a habit. It just takes persistence. And in the book, we then go into some tried and true methods for changing habits. It turns out that the myth that it takes 21 days to form a habit is just that. It's just a myth. There are studies that show, there are studies that show that it actually takes more like 2 to 8 months. What works in changing a habit is consistency, repetition. You have to do the hard work. You have to keep at it, and you will change your habits. It is. There, we even quote a writer named Charles Duhigg, who had a book called The Power of Habit. It was a pretty big seller. He has a 3-step process. He says you create a trigger, you pick a routine, and then you enjoy the reward. And the trigger is how you start the process. Like you pick something. We say, well, if you're trying to remember to take your vitamins every day, maybe your trigger is brushing your teeth. You tell yourself that every morning when you brush your teeth, you take your vitamins. And the next step would be to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do it, you remind yourself that it worked. And this repetition actually works in changing a habit.
We're talking right now with Gordon Javna. His family was the brainchild of the Bathroom Readers series, coming up with the idea in 1987. Now, his new book, he's co-author of Life is a Joke, 100 Life Lessons with Punchlines. And you're welcome to jump in here as well at 800-642-1234. Did you ever have these books, the bathroom books in your bathroom, in your life? I know a couple were wedged between some Reader's Digests in my aunt and uncle's bathroom. But how do you associate humor in your life challenges? Do you have life lessons that you joke about? Join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back in a moment. There is this analogy, this anthology called Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, and the series suggests that a whole lot more is going on in the bathroom than just nature's calling. We're talking about the Bathroom Reader series and its contents this hour, but first let's take a moment to check in on the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end pledge drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague, Mike Crane, and things are going well. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount. And because the single largest source of our funding is listeners, your gift is so important for the WPR programs you enjoy.
We'd love to hear from you right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're looking for 9 pledges in the next 34 minutes. We know we can get there. This pledge drive is a great time to develop the habit of making a pledge. And then when you've made that pledge, I promise, just as Gordon was talking about, you will enjoy the reward of listening and knowing that you're helping to make public radio possible.
Think about if you've already given, and if you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right this very moment at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's just a lot of fun to listen to the morning show. You never know where we'll be in the morning.
You never know, Mike Crane.
And, you know, I was thinking a lot about the advice. Create the trigger. The trigger may be, oh, they're asking for us to make a pledge. And so you could actually go ahead and do that at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. And think about how wonderful the Ideas Network is on WPR. We book the guests, we plan the shows, you show up.
That's a good thing.
and then we have a lively and an informative conversation every morning.
So make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support, it is key to making these discussions available to you and to everyone.
You know, it's always nice when you can do more than one good thing at once. Making sure that Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network is strong, that's a terrific good thing to do. And right now, you can also make a pledge that will support not just the programs you rely on, but support people who are in need of reducing their insecurity about where they're going to find their next meal. So when you make a pledge, ask for one of the food bank gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to those facing hunger who are in your area through regional food banks. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
December is a special time of year. we asked some people, what are your year-end traditions?
Our family generally gets together at my mom and dad's house, and we just spend time with each other.
Going for a walk in the first snowfall of the year.
Getting out my Hawaiian Aloha Advent calendar, which has a giant Santa Claus in an Aloha shirt and flip-flops.
Make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio one of your year-end traditions. In return, you'll get programs that make you think, laugh, and start conversations all year long. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this year-end membership drive. Good morning, I'm Kate Archer-Kent, here with my colleague Mike Crane. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount. And because the single largest source of our funding is listeners, the backbone of our support, your gift, it is truly so important for the WPR programs that you enjoy every day.
We had a great comment from Anne from Heartland who says, I believe in your mission and news I can trust. Thank you. Great to hear that pledge. We'd also love to hear from you because we're looking for another 9 pledges by 7 o'clock, and we can get there with your help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for, well, we've got about 8 more pledges to go this hour. We're moving through. We can do this. Absolutely doable. And think about this, 2017 marking 100 years of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of pride to share here. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It gives us a strong start to not only to 2018, but to the next 100 years. So make your gift right now so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. The book is Life is a Joke, 100 Life Lessons with Punchlines. We are talking with Gordon Jobna, who stays with us. You can join in as well at 800-642-1234. Do you have a history of learning from your life lessons? Do you have a joke about life lessons learned? 800-642-1234. You can share it. You can also post that on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Well, Gordon, you know, each of us have experiences that we learn from. For some of us, we're hesitant to jump into experiences, but for others, you know, some people just go with both feet forward. There's a joke you reference in your book that explores the idea of learning from our experiences as this four-part process that you were talking about earlier. Can you also share a joke for us that relates to a lesson that explains how this theory should be used beyond the punchline? Oh, are you there? Oh, I can not.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah, can you hear me now?
There we go. There we go. Yes, I can. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Here's a joke. I think what you're asking me is how do you use the punchline to take the lesson with everywhere. And so by the way, I just want to say I'm from Southern Oregon, and I am a member of Southern Oregon Public Radio. So important. I just want to throw that in there.
All
because
right.
I'm a believer. So here's a joke with a punchline that I use and I repeat to myself. So a man's convinced that he's dead. His wife tells him he's not dead. His kids tell him he's not dead. His friends tell him he's not dead, but he still insists he is. So finally, at their wit's end, the family takes him to see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist decides that his best strategy for curing the man is to convince him to accept one simple fact: dead men do not bleed. So over the next 6 months, he has the man study medical textbooks and anatomy charts, all of which support the psychiatrist's point. Then he has the man observe autopsies, watches they dissect cadavers, and has him work as an assistant in a funeral home. And finally, the exasperated man says to the psychiatrist, okay, enough already. I get it. Dead men do not bleed. The psychiatrist smiles and then takes the man's hand and pricks the end of his finger with a needle. As a drop of blood oozes out, the man looks at his finger and says, "Well, what do you know? Dead men do bleed."
Okay, and so what do we learn there?
We learn that logic does not always win out. Studies show that people ignore facts or twist them if they don't support what we already have as our views. So if you're trying to win an argument and you expect the other person to change their mind, you're probably wasting your time. You might be right, but being right has nothing to do with it. People believe what they want to believe. And so for me, when somebody is stubbornly, when I'm in a conversation with somebody and they're stubbornly clinging to an illogical point of view, I will just mutter to myself, or maybe I won't say it out loud, just think it. Ah, well, what do you know? Dead men do bleed.
And this kind of leads into blind spots about our capabilities and our limitations. What about a joke that is related to a lesson, and you can share some tips on how we can better see our blind spots, so to speak?
We do have a joke about blind spots, but I don't remember it. You have it in front of you. Maybe you have it in front of you.
I do not. I was hoping that you did. But, well, I mean, you can't remember every single joke in 100 jokes.
Unfortunately,
they're not
I
all
can't.
In there.
They're all in my head somewhere, but, you know, I have so much garbage in my head as well.
What are your favorite ones?
My favorite jokes from this book. Well, let's see. Here's a joke. Okay, so you said, where do we get these jokes? This is a joke that a friend of mine told me like 35 years ago, and it just stuck with me and stuck with me. So we put it in the book. So a young man is walking through the woods when he comes on a bunch of old timers sitting around a campfire. He says hello, and they invite him to join the group. After a few moments of silence, one of the old timers says, "Number 17. And all the guys start laughing. The next guy says, "Number 64. And again, everyone starts laughing. The young man turns to the old guy next to him and says, "What's everybody laughing about?" The old guy says, "Well, we've known each other for so long that we don't need to tell our jokes anymore. We just refer to them by a number." Oh, so when it comes to be his turn, the young man stands up and says, "Number 33. But nobody laughs. Embarrassed, the young man sits down and says to the guy next to him, "I don't get it. Isn't number 33 funny?" "Yeah," says the old guy, "but not the way you tell it."
And what did you write about that joke?
Well, the life lesson here is that we all learn it the hard way. You can't fit in everywhere. Some social groups exclude you, no matter how badly you want in or how hard you try. But you shouldn't take it as a personal failure. You can't be everybody's friend. And frankly, it may not have anything to do with you. So, you know, the message is, rather than feeling bad about where you don't belong, try taking an appreciative look at the places you do fit in, or keep looking until you find the group that works for you. And again, after, you know, what we've done in this book is that we not only deliver the life lesson, we deliver statistical support for why this is the case, or what you can do to deal with it, and that is extremely helpful in this. But this is one of those jokes I mentioned. I use the punchlines, I also mentioned that the way the book started is my brother John used jokes to communicate life lessons to his kids, and so when we were sort of road testing each of these jokes between us, I would say, "Well, could I imagine saying the punchline to myself and reminding myself of a lesson?" And John, what John did was he used in his head, he used his daughter Sophie as the barometer to see, well, how would I communicate this to Sophie. And at the time that we were doing this, Sophie was having a great deal of difficulty with somebody will communicate this to her, but so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. But she was having difficulty with a group that she was part of, that she did not feel comfortable with them. And we used this as a way to communicate the fact that you can't always fit in. It mm-hmm. doesn't always work out the way you want it to. Just because you want to be part of a group doesn't mean that's the group for you. But the good news is there is a group for you. Just move along and don't lose faith. Just keep looking until you find the group of people that you fit in with.
We're chatting right now with Gordon Javna. He is one half of the Javna brothers, who are the brains behind the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader series, dozens of books later. They've got a new one out titled Life is a Joke, 100 Life Lessons with Punchlines. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you associate humor in your life challenges? Does humor impact you in a positive or negative way? Do you appreciate illuminating material in your bathroom? A good read. We'll talk about it at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now let's check in on the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end pledge drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane, and listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio is what you listen to. Our year-end membership drive is a time for you to think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs during 2017, and then think about how you want to keep them going strong in 2018, and then take action with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's really fun to think about what do you say to keep some humor in your life? And in our family, what we do is we tell a lot of movie lines that strike us as funny. So there's a movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? We quote constantly, including the line, lots of respectable people got hit by a train. And that shows up in a lot of different ways for another conversation sometime. But it's just so wonderful to be listening to this show and having the opportunity to ask you to support Wisconsin Public Radio and these great conversations that we have on the Ideas Network.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 7 more pledges in about 19 more minutes of this hour. We'd love to hear from you. Your gift is so important right now. Support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you if you've already given, by the way. And if you haven't, the time is right now. It is of an essence. Do it now before sunup. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
More and more people are joining our 9XM Leadership Circle. That's for people that are giving a gift of $100 or $200 a month and doing that as a sustaining pledge or giving a one-time gift that equals that for the months. And you can do that to make sure you're supporting the programs that are essential for your life.
You'll make a difference in your own life and enhance the quality of life for so many others throughout the state. Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I decided to become a sustainer because instead of writing that one check every year, I thought, I don't want to have to worry, did I remember to do it? How much did I give before? Just set it up and let it flow and know that it's happening. I feel much better knowing that without my being able to screw up, WPR is getting that support regularly.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
Talk about building a good habit. Go to WPR.org. And also you could call if you want, 888-202-2552. Make your donation to support programs that you hear on the Ideas Network and that you count on. Mike Crane here with Kate Archer-Kent, raising the money that keeps WPR on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
So many important and interesting stories that are covered on the Ideas Network. You rely on these discussions, and that's why your gift during our year-end membership drive is so important.
Help us to put a strong finish on 2017 so we can continue to discuss the issues that matter to you in the months to come. Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for seven more pledges to go this hour? We can do that. Seven pledges, you and a couple friends, and we nearly got it. This year-end membership drive is the last pledge drive of our centennial year. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And during this pledge drive, there's a really wonderful thank you gift. It's a thank you gift for helping people with food insecurity. Choose one of those food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month, and you'll be providing meals for those in need in your area. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener-supported. That means your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. Talking with Gordon Jovna, his new book is Life is a Joke, 100 Life Lessons with Punchlines. We're hearing some of those jokes this hour. Gathering yours as well at 800-642-1234. Do you have life lessons you joke about? Do you appreciate laughter to get you through challenging situations in life? You can share at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Gordon, truth and accuracy is a major factor in all walks of life, especially in the realm of media. But can you share a joke with us about telling the whole truth and explaining the lesson we can take away from truth?
How about this one? Excuse me. Three guys. A politician, an economist, and a statistician go out hunting. As they're moving silently through the woods, they spot a deer. The politician hoists his rifle, takes aim, fires, and misses 5 feet to the left. The economist scoffs. Ah. He takes aim, fires, and misses 5 feet to the right. The statistician jumps up jubilantly and yells, "We got him!"
Okay, so what do we know about taking aim?
Well, the point here is that we are inundated with statistics every day.
Mm.
And we tend to simply accept them as the truth. But just because they sound authoritative doesn't mean they're accurate. They can be skewed one way or the other. And they can be just outright lies. So does that mean all statistics are false? Of course not. But the challenge is to listen critically, be appropriately skeptical, and then draw your own conclusions. Now, we see this in the media all the time, or we hear it on the media. I don't mean by the media, but we hear it from politicians and economists all the time. So we have a few tips for spotting misleading statistics. First one is check the math. Before you examine facts, you have to look at the numbers. It may seem crazy, but when you see percentages in charts or graphs, sometimes they actually add up to more or less than 100%, and nobody notices. Second tip is use your BS radar. You know, because of the internet, there are tons of made-up statistics floating around. So if something seems dubious, it probably is. So keep your eyes on the numbers. Misleading stats often seem correct only because we want them to be. And then ask yourself what's been left out. People cherry-pick information as long as it fits their agenda. And we cite a a fact here. Colgate once advertised that 80% of dentists recommended their toothpaste.
I remember that, yeah.
The implication is that only 20% of dentists recommended anything else. But the fact is that the dentists were allowed to pick several brands, not just one, which Colgate forgot to mention or neglected to mention. And then you have to consider the source. And then you have to look carefully at the language used, because a lot of statistics use weasel words, which means words or statements that are intentionally ambiguous or misleading. And that turns legitimate statistics into meaningless half-truths. For example, there may be up to 400 people looking over your shoulder right now. The implication is that 400 is a meaningful number, but in fact it means nothing, because any number less than 400 would be accurate, or would be true, not accurate, including zero. So, then I list some other Weasley words, but yes.
Speaking of numbers, money and finances is also something that comes up in your joke book, and how to use money properly and in that process, and sometimes people, you know, making big financial mistakes. Is there a joke that revolves around the lesson of money?
Well, you know, there are a few in here. Let me see if I can find one quickly. I probably can't find one quickly. I don't know if this is the one you're talking about, but here's a great joke. A recent college graduate is applying for a job at a big company. And in the interviewer, the guy asks him what kind of salary he's looking for. The guy says, well, I was thinking around $125,000 a year, or maybe even higher, depending on how generous your benefits are. Well, says the interviewer, how about this? We'll start you at $130,000, enroll you in our executive medical plan with full vision and dental coverage, and we'll give you a corner office, 8 weeks paid vacation a year, and your own company car, a brand new Mercedes. And the applicant says, wow, are you kidding? The interviewer says, yeah, but you started it.
What is the takeaway?
The takeaway is that we all know that unless you ask for what you want, or maybe we don't all know, but unless you ask for what you want, you're not going to get it. So it is good to aim high, but there is a narrow line between an ambitious goal and embarrassing overreach. When your goals are obviously unrealistic, they can boomerang on you, and people like the interviewer in the joke will see right through you, and they won't take you seriously. Unrealistic expectations can distort your view of what's really possible in life, preventing you from satisfaction in your job or your relationships. So be ambitious, but be careful. Your expectations define your interactions with the world, and if they're unreasonable, they'll only make your life more difficult.
It sounds like these jokes can really help us live a better life.
They certainly are. So this is probably the world's first combination self-help book and joke book. It's an odd combination, I admit, but it works. It works for us, and we hope it'll work for other people. But I am a big fan of self-help books, and I avoided them for years because I thought they were preachy, or I was afraid they were kind of preachy, telling me how to live my life. My dad used to say, if you go to a lecture or a seminar or something like that, and even if it's an all-day thing, and you only come away with one thing that you remember that helps you, one fact that helps you, one tip that helps you, it's a success. And I apply that to self-help books, and I very much apply that to this book. If you can read, now this is 100 jokes with 100 life lessons, and every one of them comes from my or my brother's life experience. Well, we've been around the block a few times and had our share of successes and failures in all aspects of our lives, and we really have applied that experience to these jokes and tried to deliver life lessons that that relate to everybody and through our experience. But if you can read this book and come away with one thing that actually enhances your life, I think we've been successful. But I will say that I think you can come away with a lot of lessons that will help you. And I recommend that you if you purchase the book and read it, you read one joke at a time. Don't figure you have to read the whole thing all the way through. Let it percolate. Let it rest with you for a while, because it may take a while to sink in. But I think you will find help in these jokes.
Well, Gordon, thanks so much for joining us.
Fun way. Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Gordon Javna is co-author of the book Life is a Joke, 100 Life Lessons with Punchlines. He is also co-author of the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader series that was founded several decades ago. This Hour of the Morning Show was produced by Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. And now let's check in on how we're doing with the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive that is in full swing. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with my colleague Mike Crane. And this is the time when we say your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. And that's why we're here to ask for your gift right now as 2017 comes to an end. And we look forward to starting 2018 strong. Make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I was thinking about a couple of things listening to Gordon this morning. One is I'm really glad he's a member of his public radio station. That's terrific. And something he said just a minute ago made me think about the Ideas Network. He said, if you can listen and come away with a lesson that helps you make something better in your life, well, that's terrific. If you can do that with the Ideas Network, you make a better life, a better community, maybe a better world. Then the Ideas Network is doing its job, and we'd love to hear your support to make sure that you can keep tuning in to the Ideas Network.
Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's 6:57 just about right now. We have three more minutes, and we're looking for three more pledges to get us on goal for this hour. Make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is pretty remarkable. More than 22,000 WPR members are proud, sustaining members. They provide a steady, reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can join their ranks when you choose an amount of $10 or $20 a month and set it up on an ongoing basis. Thanks to everybody who's pledging one time or whatever, but the sustaining membership is a great idea. It's one of the best ways you can support the Ideas Network. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs, because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
It's easy to do. Get in touch at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Mike Crane here with Kate Archer-Kent asking you to respond to this fact that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why we're here asking for your support during this brief year-end membership drive. Maybe your gift can be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And we've heard from Paul from Oshkosh, who says, I rely on WPR for my news. It is indispensable. Well, thank you so much, Paul. Richard from Middleton says WPR is fresh, honest approach to delivering the news. And thank you so much to Richard. Now you join Paul and Richard. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.